for joining us weekdays at noon. It's the place to be. The phone lines are open. We had some limited phone time yesterday, but we will have more available for you today. 434-977-1070 is the phone number. Samantha stands by to take your calls politely and professionally. The magic number is 977-1070. I don't think we have a lot of news regarding the shootings and the murders of Devin Chandler, Lavelle Davis Jr., and Deshaun Perry. They are pictured on the front page of the daily newspaper today. There was some audio released. I guess it was released overnight. We've been playing it here at WINA in the news cycle. It was pretty interesting to me because it's something that's not quite squaring up with the audio, because there was a reference to the three deceased and then that there were two other football players, at least that's how I heard the report, that were injured. And yet the audio that was played here at the 24-hour local news center on WINA that would sound like a call to 911 referenced a female victim, said she was shot in the leg. And so I'm still trying to figure out, was that an additional casualty or was that just misreported? I'm not sure, but I did get a report. I have a lot of people in the community who have connections to the apparently to the limousine company and to University of Virginia, who did report a female victim to me off the record. And again, I'm just trying to make sense out of the reports that we have here, because there was that audible report that we heard. It came over. It was probably a release of a 911 record that said a female was shot in the leg. So anyway, the story will continue to come clear, hopefully, as more information is out. We're grateful to the good work of the combined and coordinated police departments, who have really done a great job in arresting the suspect and also in the continuing investigation. So we'll see what comes of all of this. If there is a motive, we need to understand it. And if there were things that fell apart along the way, if there were red flags that should have been noted and were not, we need to learn from that as well. You can also send me an email. It's robs@wina.com. We've got open phones the first half hour today, and we will be taking your calls in just a moment. Also, just to let you know that we will be talking about elections today, because, well, it's been a week since the election. We haven't really had a chance to have some analysis on the program on that topic, so we'll get to that a little bit later on today at the bottom of the hour. Right now, let's go to the phones and say hello to Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Rob. Happy Thanksgiving to you, buddy.
Hey, and to you. It's almost here, isn't it? Kind of hard to believe. Yeah. It's, what, almost a week away.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I tell you, I'm so grateful for a platform on the air to call in and just speak as an ordinary American. I really, really appreciate what you do. Mm. And I know that you know that, but I just want to reiterate it, that it's such an important thing to be able to exercise our freedom of speech.
Well, I appreciate you saying so. You know, it's kind of been the hallmark of this program for our almost 15 years on the air, that all points of view are welcome. And it was my intention going into this that people would take advantage of this as a place to speak out and reach the broad community. And I thank you for doing that over all these years, because you've been a big part of it.
Well, that's not why I'm calling. I try to keep a low profile, man.
I know.
But I'll tell you what, that's good for my ego to keep a low profile. So, and I can be a very egotistical person, but yeah. I just want you to know my thoughts here.
Yes.
I believe that America is a melting pot. I don't think that we are groups of people competing with one another for power.
Yeah.
I think that we're all Americans. I don't care what you look like. I don't care how tall you are. I don't care how short you are. You live in this country, you're an American. When we have people that are trying to get us to compartmental ourselves into different subgroups, and they never mention us being Americans, and how we need to foster our awareness around that fact first and foremost, then I'm reminded of a metaphor I have in my head of a chimpanzee running the air traffic control tower at Dulles Airport. I really get that feeling.
Yeah.
That these people are so far distant from the importance of maintaining our cohesiveness and our unity, that they're actually fumbling and bumbling. And that's okay. The founder said this would happen. It leaves us weak. There's a weakness that shows up as a result of this. And we've got to realize that we're not different groups of people because of where our ancestors came from or any of those things. We're all Americans, and this is a precious gift that we have. And I just want to say one more thing.
Yes.
If people feel alienated from their strength as Americans, please go read the farewell address of our founding father, George Washington, the first president of the United States, the general of the Continental Army that defeated the British. Just read his farewell address. And if you don't understand it the first time, please read it more times. Keep reading it over and over until you get the gist of it. We're not too stupid to understand the language that these men were speaking 200 years ago. I know there's a lot of people in power that probably think that we are, and they're wrong. Because I know I was not a well-read person. I'm not a well-read person, but I read some of these men's writings, and I just repeated it over and over until I got the gist of it. Because their way of using English was different than what it is now. So I thank you again, Rob, for what you do. I'm sorry that Charlottesville is going through this again. And hopefully we can unite and find out that we are in a melting pot. We're not in a multicultural society. We're all Americans, and we need to respect that first and foremost above anything else.
You said it well, Chris, and it's perfect. And it calls to mind our national motto, E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one. And that was approved by the Congress back in 1782. So this is a longstanding understanding of how the United States is supposed to function, out of many, one. It's exactly what you just said. People come here and assimilate and become Americans, not subgroups, not hyphenated, not with separate languages that exclude them from participating in American culture and becoming American, and not to come here and try to upend and subvert the culture, the dominant culture of the country. And this is going on in our schools right now, unfortunately, which means we face a very bleak future unless people take their kids out of these schools because their minds are being poisoned against their own country. That's very difficult to overcome. Chris, thank you very much. I got to go to the break. That leaves one line open at 977-1070. Grab it while it's hot, and we'll get to our callers on the other side with whatever's on your mind. 977-1070, line open for you right now. Stay with us. Shilling Show continues on a Turbo Tuesday. Selwyn Duke coming up at the bottom of the hour. Is there circumstantial evidence of voter fraud? We'll get to all that. But right now we get to you. There's a line open at 977-1070. We'd love to hear from you with whatever is on your mind. 977-1070. Send me an email, robs@wina.com. And don't forget to visit us online at shillingshow.com, and there's lots of ways to be in touch there as well. Hey, getting a tremendous amount of attention, and I'll get to the calls in just a second, thank you for your patience, but getting a tremendous amount of attention, over 10,000 views on this story, it's just remarkable. As a guest editorial, Brackney murdered public safety in Charlottesville, and here's how it can be resurrected: the high cost of politicized law enforcement. it's instructive what's been going on in Charlottesville and the way that people have been looking at the police department and the way the police have been looking at the community and at themselves. And I know because I've heard directly from some police officers who agree wholeheartedly and some who are borderline offended or maybe truly offended by this piece. It's controversial, but I like to publish people's points of view to encourage people to think very carefully about the issues that face them. I hope you'll check it out online. It is the lead story guest editorial, and it's a very good read whether you end up agreeing or not. All right, let's go to the phones here. Let's see if I can do this correctly. And let's say hello to Charlie. Charlie, welcome to the Shilling Show.
Thank you. The recent events on Sunday with the death of three university football players.
Yes.
Reminds me of Columbine. Reminds me of many situations where people become frustrated, and I don't want to get into a whole Second Amendment rights. We have plenty of guns in the United States. There, a lot of people are dying. But this frustration that people feel that to solve problems with a gun that need to be solved in other ways, everyone just feels bad now. And the gentleman speaking about George Washington, there's no finer place than Virginia to understand the sacrifices that have been made, and we just need to get with it and spread that feeling of brotherhood and sisterhood or humanity.
I'm with you, and I miss that. And I remember after national tragedies that I've experienced in my own life growing up in the United States of America, that we would see that, Charlie, that it would be manifest and it would be long-lasting and it would be sincere. And I don't see enough of that these days.
Yeah. Well, we've talked over the years. I have a slightly different brand than you, mm-hmm. but I know you came from California and you've been frustrated sometimes and about how, you know, the difficulties that you feel in Charlottesville. And I can remember one say, well, maybe you had been talking about going to Texas. But I'm actually proud that you're still here because we do have dialogues here. And I've been living in Charlottesville since 1979. I've worked in a variety of fields, and I see the love, and I just want to get back to that.
Charlie, I appreciate it. I join you in that, and I appreciate that you listened for a long time, even though you disagree. And you beat me here by about 20 years because I didn't get here till 1998. So, well, actually, yes, about 20 years. It's good to hear from you. Don't be a stranger. And thank you very much for your call. Truly appreciate it. Back to the phones, and we say hello to Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Rob. Long time. Haven't talked to you.
Yeah, nice to hear your voice.
I you mentioned something about voter fraud, and I had to jump on and say this. I don't understand how anybody can believe that with all these races in this election, that they are so equally divided and they're either won or lost by a point or two, mm-hmm. and that people think that we are so evenly divided in this country that would be the outcome. Mm-hmm. That just does not even sound reasonable to me. In, you know, some states that we know are predominantly Republican, mm-hmm. and you have these people losing by, you know, a point. And you mm-hmm. can't tell me that there's not some kind of funny business going on, but, you know, I don't see any Republicans jumping up and down contesting all this stuff. So we're never going to win if we don't, you know, try to get this stuff straightened out.
Well, I agree with you, and we aren't, because these elections are obviously being controlled. There's just too many things. Like you said, how can anybody look at this and say, well, all of these anomalies happen, but there's integrity here. We have to believe the elections. And I think that we've seen enough evidence, enough circumstance to know that something is drastically wrong, and we're just not being told the truth. And it's probably very difficult to get to the bottom of it. But I know what common sense is, and I know you do, and we look at this with common sense and say, absolutely no way.
Right. And it seems that the narrative is, if you question anything, you're an election denier, and on either side. Mm-hmm. But and that's one way to get people to just be quiet. It's the same way if you have a difference of opinion on, you know, race or something, mm-hmm. they call you a racist, and
yep.
that's a way to just get you to shut up.
Well, I've seen it employed all over the place, right here in Charlottesville, and you know, you've been subject of it. I certainly have, but we keep speaking out, don't we?
Yeah, but I'm getting too old for this game. It's just too much.
Well, yeah, I understand, and I understand the frustration, but I do thank you for spreading the word and for being courageous enough to speak up in spite of the fact that you had a lot of brickbats thrown at you.
Yep. All right, buddy. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Great to hear from you. Let's go back to the phones and say hello to Mason, who's been very patient. Mason, go right ahead, please.
I am standing on the corner, at the corner. I'm holding a small sign. It has one word with a question mark after it, and it's getting huge response positively. I'll tell you about the one in a minute that was negative. Mm. What does it say? It says bullied. Oh, man, the students are loving it.
Mm.
The adults are loving it. People that never waved to me that I recognize are putting their hands up and waving. So that's the civilian response.
I think we have to be aware that this is such a serious problem. And a lot of times, and Mason, thank you for bringing that up, that people try to hide this or step away or pretend like it's not happening. This happened, something happened I'm going to bring up here not long after we arrived in Virginia back in 1998, and I don't remember the exact date, but there was a self-immolation. A student, I think he was a present student or maybe a recent past student, lit himself on fire in front of, I'm pretty sure it was Albemarle High School. I've got a friend who knows all the details here, and that was probably a very direct result of bullying. And so I think it kind of goes back to Charlie's call when he said, you know, we could be nice to each other, and Chris's call, we treat each other with respect, and if we have some unity rather than division, that would go a long, long way. But I understand why people would think that was a message that needs to be paid attention to on a day like today. Also, Virginia Athletics will hold a press conference. That's today, featuring head football coach Tony Elliott and AD Athletic Director Carla Williams. This is going to be at 3:30 today, and it will be aired on WINA. So you'll want to be listening to that. I'm sure they'll have some updates and announcements regarding the football and the athletic program, and probably regarding future games. All right, I got to go to the phones here. We're coming back on the other side of the break. We're going to switch gears to the topic of elections. Stay with The Shilling Show. We've got much more ahead. All right, The Shilling Show continues 1 week post-midterm election. And I wanted to get to this topic because I'm hearing from so many people behind the scenes and callers to the program as well who are concerned about the integrity of elections in the United States of America, and I share those concerns. Selwyn Duke joins us, a longtime columnist at a fantastic publication, The New American, radio and TV political analyst. And today, the question is there circumstantial evidence of vote fraud in the United States of America? Hey, Selwyn, welcome back to The Shilling Show. Great to have you with us.
Rob, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
There is a general suspicion, as I just referenced, and we just had a caller on the line just before you came on talking about the same thing, looking with their own two eyes, using their brain, analyzing what they're seeing, and just not believing it. Is that a valid approach?
Yeah, it certainly is. And I'm not just suspicious of what went on. I think I know what happened, Rob. And, of course, we all know that the so-called red wave, they say, didn't materialize. But here's the thing. It did materialize, for instance, in Florida. As you know, Governor Ron DeSantis won re-election. Marco Rubio, the senator, he won re-election. But it's not just that. They won by huge margins. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, they both flipped Miami-Dade County. Now, think about how significant and unbelievable that is. That's like Lee Zeldin in my state of New York having flipped New York City almost. Mm-hmm. It's unprecedented. On top of that, in Florida, Republicans are set to control 85 seats in the 120-member House. That would be a historical record. Now, here's the thing, Rob. I've been around for a long time, a little longer than I'd like. I'd like to be younger. And I can't remember ever seeing an election where you saw such a disparity between purple states. Florida had been a purple state, but I just outlined what happened. Mm-hmm. But now look at Arizona, which is also a purple state and might be very similar to Florida demographically. We saw that the Republicans went bust there. So what I did was I said, okay, well, let's look at the polling and let's see if we see polling anomalies that could indicate something. I found something very, very interesting. I did an analysis that, as far as I know, no one else has done. Remember here that Republicans typically would underpoll. There was a study during the election, not that long ago, Rob, that showed that the Republicans were probably underpolling by about 5 points. Mm-hmm. And in the 2020 election, when all was said and done, we found out that they had underpolled by 3.3 points. Mm-hmm. But lo and behold, if you're to believe the results from most of the nation, you have to believe that the Republicans had actually overpolled, which would be unprecedented in modern history, except in one place, in Florida. Okay, and here are the differences that I found, okay? Governor Ron DeSantis, Rob, he led his challenger, Charlie Crist, and all of these statistics are from 11-9, early 11-9, but they really haven't changed much. He led his challenger, Charlie Crist, by 12.2 points on average in the polls. And I want to point out, I'm using the Real Clear Politics polling average, mm-hmm. which factors in liberal polls as well, not just conservative polls, okay? So he led by 12.2 points, but he actually won by almost 20. So he underpolled by 7.3 points. Marco Rubio, Rob, he led his challenger, Val Demings, by 8.8 points in the polls, but he won by 16.5. That's a 7.7 point improvement, okay? However, I analyzed other states. Again, I'm not going to go through every one, but I'm talking about Colorado, New Hampshire, Washington, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Ohio as well. And I found in all those places, again, if you believe the results, you have to believe that it was exactly the opposite, that the Republicans were actually over-polling. And here's the difference. In the six states I just mentioned, supposedly the Republicans overpolled by an average of 5.3 points, but in Florida, DeSantis and Rubio underpolled by an average of 7.5. That's a difference of almost 13 points now between the GOP's underpolling in Florida and its supposed overpolling elsewhere. So how do you explain this? It does serve as circumstantial evidence for vote fraud, and I'm going to stop because I've been talking a long time, but there's more I could say.
977-1070 is the phone number. If you have comments or questions, we're talking with Selwyn Duke from The New American. So something very interesting happened in Florida that didn't happen in a lot of other places. As you mentioned, Florida, a purple state, at least by appearance, where DeSantis barely squeaked into office when he was elected. I mean, that was a cliffhanger for days, maybe longer, figuring out with a margin of less than 20,000, maybe around 10,000, as I recall. And so he got in there and he started cleaning up the problems that we hear referenced here in Virginia. You may hear them in New York, Selwyn, but that we have outdated voter rolls and other problems with software and technology and keeping our records straight. And he went to work there. Would you tell us what he did?
Yeah, thank you, actually. I should have mentioned that right off the bat. So how do you explain this disparity between Florida and these other states that I analyzed? Well, the thing is, they don't have different polling, quote, systems. Mm-hmm. Polling is the same everywhere, but they do have different voting systems. Mm-hmm. What happened is that Ron DeSantis and the Republicans in Florida really tried to clean up the state in terms of vote fraud. They created a new agency, the Office of Election Crimes and Security. a massive ballot harvesting operation was busted in Orlando. Okay, that's something that's legal in California, but not most everywhere else or anywhere else, really. And then also DeSantis signed into law, Rob, this bill that limits ballot drop boxes' hours of availability. It requires that they be monitored by a government official. The law tightens the procedures for getting a mail-in ballot. It creates new voter ID requirements, and it makes it a crime for anyone to possess or deliver more than 2 mail-in ballots per election. Mm. Now, that's significant because mail-in balloting, Rob, is the kind of balloting that's most prone to vote fraud. That's why it's been illegal in France since 1975. Okay, you have these ballot harvesters, these Democrat operatives who go into inner city areas or nursing homes, and they say to people, hey, you really need to vote. It's important. I want you to order a mail-in ballot, but don't fill it out until I come back. And then they coach the person on how to fill it out. Then they collect all these ballots. And then you might have these activists dropping off hundreds over time or even thousands of ballots. And that's what DeSantis prohibited. And, of course, you should, because it does violence to our whole system. These activists don't just have one vote anymore when that happens. They have hundreds or thousands of votes because they're manipulating all these people into voting just the way they want them to. So what I'm telling you is that as long as we have mail-in balloting and early voting and all this ballot harvesting in the rest of the country, you cannot have honest elections. And this would explain why you saw this tremendous disparity between Florida, a record wave for the Republicans, and this bust for the Republicans basically everywhere else.
And so we look back even to 2020 and the bellwethers that were upended, and you talk about some of those in your piece, Selwyn. So again, people are losing confidence in, and rightfully so, I believe, in the veracity of these elections in the United States of America. So if we have only Florida to look at as an example and maybe a couple of other outliers, what are we to make of these elections that seem to be stolen from right before our eyes?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I would say we've become like a third world country, but no, I think the third world is laughing at us because if you look now at these nations, they tend to have voter ID. They tend to have elections that are more secure than ours. I mean, unfortunately, I have to tell you, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the Republicans can no longer win national elections with the kind of system that we have in place. Forget about 2024 unless something is done about this. Look, prior to this election, I said everyone's talking about how the Republicans are going to retake the Senate. I said it's not that likely because in states like Pennsylvania and Michigan and Arizona and Nevada and some others, you have Democrats controlling things. They've gamed the whole system. And if you just steal a large number of votes in one or two big cities in a given state, you can flip the whole state. And that's what's happening in these places, like in Pennsylvania with Philadelphia and maybe Pittsburgh. Democrats control the game here, and they've really completely stacked the odds in their favor.
And, of course, there's an attempt from the Biden administration to nationalize the elections, which is completely contra-constitutional. Do you think that's going to happen?
Well, they're going to try to do it, but you see, this is where states, Rob, need to push back, because only power negates power. Unless states step up to the plate and they say, we're going to stand up for our rights and powers, then the federal government is going to continue to overstep its bounds. I will point out here that Thomas Jefferson called nullification, quote, the rightful remedy, unquote, for all federal usurpation of states' powers. And states have to have some guts. Ron DeSantis has shown some of this. And they just have to say no. If a federal dictate is unconstitutional, you say it is null and void, an unjust law is no law at all, and we will not abide by it. That's how you do it. And we may see that more and more because we've seen now some red states getting redder because of what we've been outlining, like with what DeSantis did in Florida. And we're seeing these blue states getting bluer because of all of the Democrat vote fraud. So we're seeing more of a division here. The country is becoming more polarized. That's what's happening. But the states need to stand up.
Selwyn Duke, if people want to read your work online or be in touch, how can they do that?
Well, I have a website, selwynduke.com, and then I'm found at The New American very often and many, many other places. So I'm just about everywhere that's censored on the internet.
Well, we're glad you're here
you know
with us.
I mean, right?
I thoroughly understand. Selwyn Duke, thanks for joining us today on The Shilling Show.
Thank you. God bless.
Yeah, God bless. And we'll talk to you again. All right, let's go to the break. One more on elections from a different point of view. Eamon Ross joins us from Kingdom in Politics for his analysis and some of the work he's done with candidates across America. Stay with us. Schilling Show continues in just a minute. Thought that it could, but it isn't like that. Schilling Show into our final segment. Eamon Ross is the founder of Kingdom in Politics, and today we'll get election analysis and recap from his point of view, having worked with a number of candidates, coming from a very specific perspective. Eamon Ross, welcome to the Schilling Show. Thank you for joining us today.
Rob, it's great to be here. Appreciate it.
Would you tell us a little bit about Kingdom in Politics?
Absolutely. We our mission is to raise up 100,000 believers to run for office over the next 10 years. You know, most people don't realize there are over 550,000 elected offices from school board to the president of the United States. And our mission is to train and equip believers to step up and take a leadership role in their communities, state, and across the nation.
So that is a very important thing, but there may be people listening who say, what difference would that make, or why are you doing that? So what is the anticipation in the success of your efforts?
You know, Rob, when I'm asked that question, you know, people want to know, well, how, what is it going to do, right? What good is that? And, you know, I would say if you want to know what it looks like when the body of Christ isn't involved in politics, just turn on your television. You know, we haven't engaged in this space for the last 60 years. The church has put its head in the sand. And we've created this culture where apathy is clean and engagement is dirty. I mean, just let that sink in. Apathy is clean and engagement is dirty. And so we sat on the sidelines while ungodly legislation is written and implemented. And, you know, I think that COVID was such a blessing from the perspective that we had a firsthand look on what it looks like when we don't engage in the process.
We certainly did, and it was exposing the seamy underside of what happens to a country when people disengage. We're talking with Eamon Ross from Kingdom in Politics. So I want to bring this question up because here we are in the land of Thomas Jefferson in Charlottesville, Virginia, and there are some people who will say, well, what about the concept of separation of church and state? This is kind of a rhetorical question, but to give you an opportunity to respond to that challenge.
Well, I would say, you know, are Jews allowed to be in politics? Are Muslims allowed to be in politics? Are atheists allowed to be in politics? And so, you know, I find that it's fascinating when people use that phrase to, it's just an excuse to abdicate their responsibility to engage. I'm not saying that a church needs to be involved in politics, but absolutely believers need to rise up and be part of this process.
So let's go to an analysis of the midterm elections from your perspective. I'm not sure how your candidates did, the people you were working with, but overall, what did you anticipate and what happened?
You know, if we had had this conversation in March or April of this year, yeah, it would have been obviously a different conversation than, let's say, a post-Dobbs decision. You know, the country on a whole for a midterm election really appeared fairly disengaged at the end of the day. I think that, you know, look, this was a really gross demonstration of the lack of leadership on both sides of the aisle. You know, we ran races all over the country from school board to Congress, and a lot of the language that we saw out of both parties is, we're not Biden and we're not Trump. And, you know, there's really no vision being cast for the nation. We're not engaging with voters on the things that they care about. And I just finished working on a project with George Barna and Mark Nuttall, where we did a survey across the country, 3,500 people. It was one of the most in-depth surveys ever done. And it was on what Americans value. And at the end of the day, across all key demographics, Americans value family. And the definition of family may be different to, you know, each person, but people want to know that they are the sovereign leader in authority over their family. And right now, that's the problem. There's this massive assault on the family across the country, and neither side has stepped up to really show any leadership in this area.
You mentioned the Dobbs decision, and so I've got to ask you, there are some people who believe that that abortion which is the actual destruction of your own family, is the key issue. So is that where America is today, that people changed their vote or came out to vote when they wouldn't have because they want to preserve the right to kill off their offspring?
Yes, that's such a, you know, just the fact that we're even saying words like that is disgusting.
Right.
But I think that, look, at the end of the day, this issue engaged voters that probably wouldn't have normally voted. I think that President Biden came out and said suburban women came out to defeat the GOP. I think that he was probably right in saying that. You know, look at Kansas, right? Kansas is a really conservative state on the whole, and they came out and voted for codifying abortion at a massive margin. And so it's really disturbing to see where the narrative has been lost with people from a biblical worldview standpoint. And I think that it had a huge effect on this election cycle.
Eamon Ross, if people want to get more information on the work you're doing with Kingdom in Politics, or perhaps even consult with you on a potential political run, tell us where they can reach you.
KingdomInPolitics.com. That's KingdomInPolitics.com. And, you know, we would love to talk to you. I give out my personal email address. It's Eamon, A-A-M-O-N, at KingdomInPolitics.com. That's Eamon at KingdomInPolitics.com.
I appreciate the work you're doing. It's so important, Eamon. And I do thank you also for joining us here today on The Shilling Show.
Thanks, Rob. It's been great. Appreciate you.
All right. Let's say goodbye. We'll be back here tomorrow on The Shilling Show as we welcome GOP Senator Amanda Chase for an exclusive half-hour interview. It's been a while since she's been on the program, and of course, they always come after Amanda Chase. She is a terror to the left, and we're going to find out about her reelection campaign. People going squishy in the GOP, particularly, we were just talking about abortion on the topic of abortion in Virginia, and what lies ahead beyond the next couple of years for politics in Virginia. That's Senator Amanda Chase, our exclusive guest for half an hour tomorrow on The Shilling Show. I always look forward to those conversations. In the meantime, I would encourage you to be in touch. I'd love to hear from you, whether you agree or disagree. You can do it a couple ways. You can send me an email. It's robs@wina.com. Or if you go to shillingshow.com, there's a number of ways to be in touch with me, including The Shilling Show hotline. That's a 24/7 voicemail at 218-2349. 218-2349. There's even snail mail. Just go to shillingshow.com and click on the contact button. You'll find the many ways to be in touch with this host. I wish you a wonderful afternoon, and we'll see you soon on The Shilling Show. All those people, all those lives, where are they now? With loves and hates and passions just like mine. The views expressed on The Rob Shilling Show by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Views and opinions expressed by Mr. Shilling and his guests do not necessarily reflect the view of the Charlottesville Radio Group or any members of management or staff.